next time.
Okay, now it's on. Last Sabbath, I stayed here for the whole time and without realizing the microphone was not on. But how, you know, how time has changed humans, right? When Jesus Christ spoke, when Moses spoke, they didn't have microphones. They just have to use their, exercise their lungs. And probably that's why they have good lungs. But today we are always accommodating to everything so we don't use the power that God has given us. So first of all, before we start the message today, we'd like to know that there are someone here that may not have the same claim as far as which church do I belong to. And sometimes when we say the word church, most of the time we mean denomination. We are talking about an organized religion. On the context of our message today, we are not talking about organized religion. We talk about the uniqueness that makes us who we are. Or either we are God's church or we are not. We cannot pretend that we can be both. Okay? So in that context, please understand that we are not talking about here the Seventh-day Adventist organization. We're talking about God's people, God's church, according to Scripture. And so please, after this disclaimer, there's no excuse for any of you to be offended, whatever we are about to say. Today's message, entitled, His Church. Now, if you're familiar with the technique that we have been used for a while, when you see that color that I use, it means whose church? God's church, right? So I make it unique to keep using this in a very constant way so that every time you see something capitalized in that color, I intend to say this is God's church. But if we change the color, then you see, oops, something happens there. His is no longer God. It can be somebody else. So there is two individuals out there claiming, this is my church. One claim and is God. Another one claim to pretend to be God. All right? Last week, we talked about monism or dualism. Who created dualism? Do you even know what dualism is? Dual means two. And so he's talking about one with two faces. Or two face. That's what was the master we had. So some of you are very familiar with this symbol and have seen. And some people even think that this is something Asian. No, this existed. This concept exists thousands of years before we even had a Chinese in this planet or any Asian. Yeah. It came from Satan himself. It was established in heaven when he convinced one third of the angels that God has two faces. God is both good and evil. So we should be just like good and evil as part of one. And that was the idea. This is what we call dualism. One with two aspects. You'll be amazed. If you read history, you'll be amazed how much this concept has affected all human, every aspect of human life. And sadly, many churches don't even realize they are preaching something that is pagan, is diabolical, is not biblical whatsoever. This is what God looks like. All good. Have you said many times, God is good?
All the time.
When we say all the time includes no exception, right? That at least in the, as much as I know about English, that's what it means. When it says all the time means there's no time for something else. It's all the time. Or some people believe that God looks like the one in the bottom. Yes, that is the way that people want us to believe. This is a preacher, a two-faced preacher. This is how he represents his church. One side and then the other side. dualistic religion exists for centuries, for thousands of years. When Cain killed his brother, he made it very clear. I can worship, I can do the killing, I can move far away, I can establish my own religion, I do things my way. That concept exists today and will exist until Jesus Christ comes. People want to worship God their way. Therefore, they make their religion and they want to make their own God. Now you notice that change the color. So what do you think that this means? Who is this? His religion, his church. You see, that's somebody else's church. That's the church that he didn't want to belong to. And by the way, the deception that Satan used is that he doesn't make the church all red so you can say, oh no, I don't want to go there. He makes all very neat and clean. There's just one little dot. And that's what happens. People don't pay attention to the little dot. They look at the majority of the things and they say, oh, this is the true church. One, or either is true or false. That's what we know for sure. It is true God. Yes. The one true God. So he is the one who we take the step to follow. Here is another concept. True or false? Church. One church, some people say. But is there one church? Yes, there is one church. But there are many to pretend to be church of God. Many. And says the one true church exists, and we need to find that church. The character of God, Jesus taught, no duality in God. There's no duality in God. Jesus Christ says this, I and my Father are one. It doesn't mean the same person, okay? It means just like we have three persons in one God, it means a distinct person. And so there are three individuals, but one God. Paul also thought non-duality. This is what Paul said. There is one body. What is that one body means? One church. It's talking about the body of Christ. One church. He said there is one church. And there is one spirit that takes care of that church. Just as you are called in one hope of your calling. Can you count the ones? How many ones do you have already? You have three. Keep counting them. One Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. How many ones?
Seven.
And then there is the all. Here is one all. Who is above all? Second. And through all. And then fourth. Now, it's very symbolic. I think it was intentional when Paul wrote this. Seven means perfection. The perfection in one. So it's one body, one church, one spirit that gives life to that church, one hope, one faith, one baptism, and only one God. And that God is identified as Abba, the Father. And then there is all four times. Four means complete. Seven means perfection. And so that is the concept that Paul gives here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Now Paul continues, for there is one God and one mediator. I wish I had known this text when I was 11, 12. It would have saved me so much time because I prayed more than a million Hail Marys. And I kept that sometimes because the rosary, there is 50 plus 3, I like 54, something like this. And I prayed that every day, once a day. What a time that I put in my, I invest so much time. I was praying to Mary, asking Mary to intercede for me. And I did not know that she was dead. All that time I was praying for the dead. And I was praying for somebody who is not God. I don't mean no disrespect to Mary, because Mary is a servant of God that came with a unique purpose. She was a blessing as she lived her life. But she is a human being. A human being that is resting until Jesus Christ comes. She called Jesus Christ my Savior. She knew that she was not higher than Him. But the church that I was brought up taught me that I had to pray for her. And by the way, they didn't ask me just to pray for her. They gave me a list of more than 800 different names that I could pray for. And all that time I was seeking somebody to pray for, all that I need to pray for is one. I hope you are not praying for somebody else besides the one God, because you're not gonna get anywhere. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, and His name is Jesus Christ. Not Mary, not Peter, not John, not John Paul, not Teresa, not Guadalupe, not Aparecida, not Fatima. None of those things. All those things are distractions that try to take your mind away from the only one God, one mediator, Jesus Christ. And that for is very important for you to mark this in your Bible. Please mark this, because when you talk to somebody, don't use this to try to prove that they are wrong. Use as an approach to try to help people to get it right. There's a difference how you approach people, okay? So please don't use the scripture as a spanking tool. The Bible is supposed to lift people up, not push them down. So please use the word with kindness. Firm, but kindness. I always tell people, KFC, and I'm not talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken, okay? Kindness, firmness, and consistency. Have those three elements as you witness for Christ, and you'll see that you will succeed. Kindness, be firm, and consistent. Or you can change the C for conviction, okay? With firm conviction. And by the way, people like when you have conviction. People like people that has authority, because the authority is what they know and they practice, they live. All right? Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths. Who is speaking? Who gave us Sabbath? Who gave us the Sabbath? The Adventist Church? I have seen many people sometimes saying, oh, you are Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, your Sabbath is on Saturday. Have you ever heard people say that? Oh, your Sabbath is on. Your Sabbath is. Oh, your church Sabbath. Oh, they are Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, they keep their Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, the Sabbath is not mine, is not yours. It belongs to the one who is, His name is right there in the middle. Do you know that God created the only day of the week that He named was the Sabbath? He did not name the first, the second. In original, in Hebrew, when we talk about the first day of the week, they says the first until the Sabbath. The second until the Sabbath. The third until the Sabbath. Why they did that? Because every single day you were reminded you have a meet with your Creator in 7 days. It was a constant reminder, just like when you have a date and you have a, you put an alarm in your phone and your alarm is 7 days to go to church, 6 days to go to church, 4 days to go to church. Like every day you think about church. That was exactly, Abba was in their minds every single day. I mentioned this to you before in Portuguese, and there is somebody here who knows Portuguese a little bit. Yes, my brother there, Henry, he knows a little bit Portuguese. You speak Portuguese a little bit, right? It says the second day of the week we call second day. Third day, fourth day. The only one was changed was the Roman church changed the first day. They call it the Lord's Day. But they call it in Latin. So the people say it without knowing what they are saying. They call it Domingo, which means the Lord's Day for them. Now, you can question which Lord they're talking about. They don't talk about Lord, the Lord. To be a sign between them and me. To be what? An ID to help them to identify them with me. They will know who I am. I will know who they are if we have something that makes us unique. What makes us unique? That we have a creator. And that same creator is also our redeemer. That same one is the head of our church. The church is his. And that's what it is. They might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. The commandment says for us to observe the Sabbath. Why? Why? Hello? Hello? Why does the commandment ask us to sanctify the Sabbath? Why? Not only because it's the Lord's day. It's because the Lord made it holy. We don't make it holy. We don't make anything holy. And by the way, even some of us try to make ourselves holy, you're going to be frustrated. Don't try to be holy. Don't try to make anything holy. Allow the Holy One to make you holy. Amen. Because when the Lord claims you as his, that's how he sanctifies you. Amen. You need to connect with him, because when you step on the light, light reflects on you. But if you step away from the light, you'll be in darkness. So remember the sign. This is not a seven-day Adventist thing. It has nothing to do with a seven-day Adventist church. This has to do with the Lord himself who established 6,000 years ago, it was established. And by the way, I tell people, I am a seven-day Adventist because the seven-day Adventist is biblical. If the church turns it back to the Bible, I will follow the Bible. I'm standing before you not a seven-day Adventist minister. I'm standing before you because I am convicted. The Lord calls me to serve him. And through his church, I serve him. But if the church turns its back on God, I have to follow God because God is the only one who should be followed by anyone. We are confident that the church will remain faithful to the Lord, and I pray that it will. And that's why I'm here, standing before you as a Seventh-day Adventist, because the Bible says so. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Some people say, but Pastor, do you know how many churches are there? By the way, this is a trick question. Let's see, just to make sure that you're awake and alert. Okay, here's a trick question. If you search on the internet, how many churches you think that you will find? If you search, I know that when I say to you, tricky, now you become like, should I say anything? It is a trick question, but if you search the internet, how many churches do you think you will find? Thousands. But if you search the scripture, how many churches you will find? Oh, I was hoping to have a brother. I was hoping maybe you were here in front. You may lead them as a choir. I was hoping to hear all of them say at once.
One.
One. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom. Some people have a hard time with the word obedience. Have you noticed that some people that belongs to other denominations, they have no problem with 9 commandments, but there is one that bothers them a lot. And I mean a lot. I heard one pastor that used to be a Baptist, is standing, he was invited to a Seventh-day Adventist church to give his testimony because he finally was converted to the concept that the Sabbath is biblical. That he said this as he was giving his testimony. And I used to hate you Seventh-day Adventists. Oh, but not anymore, he said. Before anybody got misunderstood, he said, but not anymore. But what is impressive is that without realizing, he brought something that was inside of him for many, many years. He said, I used to hate you Seventh-day Adventists. I have met pastors. I even got out my whole high school education in a Presbyterian school. And I heard the pastor from that church preach a few times. And there was one time that we had a special event that some young Seventh-day Adventists came because it was a youth program. And he spoke and he says, oh, there are places in heaven for, and he said, the Baptists. And then he says, for Catholics. And he says, for Methodists, for Presbyterian. And maybe there's a little corner over there for Seventh-day Adventists. Why they are so animated about the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Why? Why so much attention? Keep watching the screen and you'll find out why. On Judgment Day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name. You know that's a lie because demons don't cast out demons. And perform many miracles in your name. All fake stuff. Have you seen, I hope you don't, but once in a while you can see on television people that are playing play with cards that they call magic. It's just an illusion. They don't create anything but just fool you, you know, because they get used to do something so fast that your eyes cannot notice. Satan is a masterful in deception. The Bible says that he even may reveal himself as an angel of light. He did with Jesus. By the way, when he was talking to Jesus, Jesus didn't see any horns or any tail. Yeah, he was telling a lot of things, but not tail. You know what I mean. He was there as an angel of light. It was until he said, if you bow down to worship me, that Jesus finally said, away from me, Satan, because it's written, only God can be worshipped. That includes no Mary, no Peter, no anybody else. Only one to be worshipped is God. Amen to that. And Jesus said, I put this picture because I wanted you to have this impression in your mind first before Jesus' conclusion. He said, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Do you know that this is powerful? Because it says, get away from me. Why? Because there is no communion between light and darkness. There is no communion. You know, God is not dualistic. There is no way that you can have both at the same time. Many people believe that it can, and they are fooling themselves. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 6 says, "Now by this we know that we know him." What is the evidence? What is the proof that we know him? If we keep his commandments. Not the Roman commandments, not the Protestants' commandments, but the remnant commandments. He who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandments, what is it? Is what?
Liar.
Is what?
Liar.
And the truth is not in him. Do you know why I put the capital, the word truth, and in that color? Because that is, Jesus is not in them. Jesus Christ himself talked about the Satan. He says, he is a liar. And the truth is not in him. That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees and talk also about Satan, which he says, he's your father. He's a liar from the beginning. It says, he who says, "I know him," and there are a lot of people now that says that they know Christ. If I ask you, how many Christian churches are there in the world, what will be your answer? I'm going to use this term. You're going to be tempted to say thousands. How many churches out there claim to be Christians? Thousands. How many churches are there that are Christians? One. I hope you get the point. But whatever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. How do we know that we are in him? If we reflect the same character that he has. I like to look like my father. Do you? Do you want to be look exactly like your father? Last week we spent time to tell you who the Father was and who he is. This week, I'm talking to you about how unique the people of God is because they reflect his wisdom. Some people may say, "Oh, but Pastor, this is sounds too legalistic. You know, is this obedience? We are not saved by obedience. We are saved by what? Disobedience." Isn't that what Satan told Eve? If you disobey, you shall live. God tells you, if you disobey, that will bring you death because you will be disconnected from me. But Satan said, no, it's the opposite. Sin, and you will become just like God. Do you see? Good and evil. Because he knows good and evil. That's what you will become. And that's where is he even right now? In a grave. Where is all her descendants? They're all in the grave except Enoch, Elijah, Moses also is in heaven. But what happens? They all died because the choice that was made. They chose to believe in a lie and they lie down in the grave for that. He who says he abides in him, in other words, I am a Christian, ought himself also to walk as Jesus walked. Do you find in your Bible anywhere Jesus saying, by the way, the Sabbath is no longer the seventh day, now it's on the first day? Do you know why? Because I is resurrected on the first day. From now on, please go to church on the first day. Do you find any Bible that says that? Not even in the Catholic Bible. Not yet. Not even in the Catholic Bible. But it's coming. I know that it's coming because I already took some Bible versions in different languages. And I noticed that the Sabbath is no longer there. They are no longer have the Sabbath, they say, day of rest. Why? Because they don't want the Hispanic, because the Hispanic, the seventh day is Sabado. So they don't want the Hispanic to see in the Bible that says Sabado. So it says day of rest. And when the people see their day of rest, they start switching. Oh, that means Sunday. And you'll be amazed that a lot of Seventh-day Adventists, yes, people that claim to be Seventh-day Adventists, when they think about rest, they think about the first day of the week. I don't know if you understand the joke, but it's true. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Yes, the secret, that is, if you want to be part of his church, if you want to be part of him, here is a text that somebody wished that it would not be in the Bible. This text really bothers people. James 2 verse 10. Do you want to guess what this text says? For whoever shall keep the whole law, but he's stumbling that one. Why is that one? Is guilty of how many? You all become a lawbreaker. I put this picture together. Can you understand this picture? I know the dark color, but this is a Bible. The church stands on the Bible. There is the three angels' message, and that is Christ saying, this is my church. You can read, I'm just going to read the verse 20, but you can read verse 19, which says, go and preach the gospel. It says, and teach them to obey everything. Two words here that really bother people. One is the obedience. Another one is everything. Everybody has a different idea what everything means. When the Bible says everything, everything, not everything from here or from here or from only one page, is for the entire scripture. And I will be with you always into the end. If you obey in everything, I will be with you and you'll be with me forever. That is the promise. The remnant, I'm going to be a little bit more. Here I still have some slides to show you. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. I put this picture, the church, the back of the church, the Ten Commandments, the harvest, that's a wheat. So that's what the whole illustration means, okay? The first message, to announce the judgment and call everyone to worship the Creator. That is the first three angels' message, the importance of Creator, Abba, to talk about Abba. Then I saw another angel flying high on this on the air, with the eternal message of the good news to announce to the peoples of earth, to every race, tribe, language, and nation. He said in a loud voice, honor God and praise his greatness, for the time has come for him to judge all people who worship him who made heaven, earth, sea, and the springs of water, the Creator. Then comes the second message, to announce what? The fall of Babylon. What is Babylon? A church. Yes, a church. A dualistic church. A church that likes to pray and claim this praying to God, but kills everybody that disagrees with them. Have you heard somebody that actually dislikes, you know, there's a war going on right now. And there is one group of people around the globe right now that also believe that every infidel must be killed. And if I kill any infidel, even if I have to kill myself in the process, I'm going to have 70 virgins waiting for me there. Wow. I can understand that that concept can be very tempting for some messed up man's mind. But it works because it gets a lot of people to blow themselves into pieces because they want to see some virgins. To announce the fall of Babylon, this system have killed millions and millions of people, more than the Nazis and more than all this, they killed. And they got away with it because nobody even paid attention to what they did. And by the way, Satan is going to use them again. A second angel followed the first one saying, "She has fallen, the great Babylon has fallen. She made all peoples drink her wine." And what kind of wine is that? Fermented with rottenness, with evil. The strong wine of her immoral lust. And then comes the third message. To warn everyone not to worship whom? The beast. Why call it the beast? It's not the intent to be demeanor. If the beast is because one that refused to reason. Somebody who does things like they are brainwashed. They act like a beast because they do not reason. And his image, not to receive his mark. And we, as a Seventh-day Adventist, believe that the Bible, when it's made reference to his mark, is talking about the system of rebellion against replacing the Creator with the creature. Worship creatures instead of worship the Creator. Follow obedience to the day that shows reverence to what the Bishop of Rome has established, what Rome has established, instead of what God has established. The beast is image and his mark. To warn everyone not to worship the beast, not to his mark. This calls for a endurance of the part of God's people. Those who obey God's commandment are faithful and are faithful to Jesus. Now you know why those people sometimes may say, "We hate you, Seventh-day Adventists." And by the way, if you go online, you go on YouTube, you're going to find a lot of people that has very hateful remarks about the Seventh-day Adventists. And our administration, General Conference, has worked very hard to try to please everybody. We even have published a book that says, "What do we have in common with all the churches?" We try to accommodate, but we have to be careful. You know why? Because that's how the church in Rome became Roman. When you start to compromise to please the world. We do not belong to this world. Can you all say that? I don't belong here. I'm passing through. My home is with God, my Creator. So please don't fall asleep and get stuck here because you don't belong here. If you could have an idea what God has reserved for you, the Bible says a human mind cannot even comprehend. You'll be more excited about being part of God's church. A third angel followed the first two, saying in a loud voice, "Those who worship the beast and its image and receive the mark on their forehead or in their hand." Forehead, in their hand. Do you know forehead means the way of thinking? And then the hand, your works. Or either you serve her the way you think or the way you do your work. Be careful because Satan is very sneaky. That's why he's a symbol of a snake. He may start printing the image little by little on you. So be careful. Be aware. Don't talk like them. Don't act like them. Don't live like them. Our mission as a church is to make disciples, to proclaim the message. It is to prepare for the second coming of Christ. This is what identifies us as God's people. If you want to be God's people, biblically, when somebody says, "Are you a Christian?" Don't say, "I am a Christian." Say, "I'm a follower of Christ." Amen. There is a difference. Christian became almost like a label. A lot of people out there call themselves Christians, and they live in such a way that the devil is ashamed to relate to them. Even the devil is embarrassed of them. "Ooh, this is overdoing." So there are a lot of people out there that are killing And they says, I'm killing in the name of Allah. I'm killing in the name of Jesus. I'm killing. God is life. He's not after killing. And when I say, sister, you are, I think the gophers are very safe in your neighborhood. Be careful, because if they know about this, all the so that lady is nice to the gophers. So they will all come. So be careful. We put together this picture. This lady is all in white because she symbols God's church. And the dragon, because she's pure, because she insists in not giving in, the dragon was angry at her. I don't use this technique to scare you. But you all know the persecution comes. All right? We should not be driven by fear, because the devil will catch us. If we're driven by faith, God will lift us. Amen. You know the distinction, right? Fear will push us towards Satan. Faith will bring us close to God. Amen. Don't let fear control you. Allow faith to guide you. Okay? So when you are afraid of the persecution that will come, all that you should pray is, says, Lord, establish faith inside of me. Make me solid. Make me to have a conviction that do not allow me to be controlled by fear or anything else. Allow me to be strong. And 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to put it on the screen. I used this last week. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says, all temptation, it means affliction that comes to you, the Lord will be watching. He will not allow you to be afflicted beyond your ability to defeat the tempter. So don't be afraid of the persecution that is coming. Be afraid if they do not persecute you. Because then you'll be behaving just like one of them. Satan is not going to go against those that are doing his work. He's going to go against the ones that oppose him. That's why the dragon was angry at the woman. And for 1,206 years, they killed millions and millions of people. And the only crime they found in these people is that they did not agree with her paganism. They did not agree with her sins. They were pure. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declare war against the rest of her children, or the remnant of her children. All who kept God's commandment. That is the ID. If you wanted to show your ID, that is the ID. The one who obeys and keeps God's commandments and maintain their testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, verse 17. We are almost done. Here is the patience. Isn't it interesting that I say almost done and I use the word patience? Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here is the saints. What does the word saint mean? Here are the holy ones. Why they are holy? Because God claims them as my people. Just like my brother Steve finished the lesson today with 1 Peter that says, holy nation, no, God's people. That's what it is. God claims his people. Why? Because his people have their will surrendered to him. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven, come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you'll be punished. You'll suffer the consequence. Everything that's coming to her will come to you if you are there. Come out. When I was 10, 11 years old, I had a dream that is still in my mind until this day. At that time, I was attending catechism. There were some nuns that were teaching me some of rituals from the church, so I could finally get my first communion. So as a requirement of the church, I had to go through the all those catechism classes. And then after I finished the catechism, then I would have a special ceremony. And I was looking forward to the ceremony because they was going to give us a Guaraná, which is a special soda from Brazil. And they will give us some favorite food for us to eat. So as a kid, I was anxious to celebrate that evident. And my aunt went out and brought some special clothes for me that all in white. So I was dressed all in white. And then I was going to go there and tell the priest that all the bad things that I did. And then go and get a little piece of thing in my mouth. And that's a first communion. From now on, you are a Catholic. I was prepared for that. And the nun said something about hell or something that impressed me so much. During the night, I had a dream. In the dream, I saw fire come down from heaven and burning everything, burning the buildings. And I saw the church where I was getting, the communion. I mean, the communion of the classes for to become a Catholic, officially a Catholic. And I saw the fire come from everywhere. And I was preoccupied with my aunt because, as you know, for now you probably know, she was basically my mother because I didn't have any other mother. She was in my mind, she was my mother. So I was desperate looking for her. In my dream, I thought she was lost. And I was desperate with tears looking for her, trying to grab her, take her to the church. But as I grabbed her and I saw the fire come, I saw that the church was locked. There was no way for us to get in. It was too late. And that was so impressive in my mind that so many years later, it's still there. I wonder how many of us are preoccupied to be ready for that day. To get rid of all the things that may hold us back from becoming truly the people of God. Are you His saints? Amen. This was supposed to go slowly, and it went, I spoiled. It's supposed to go like this. His saints. Is then His, and then church. Yes, are you His church?
Yes.
May God bless you. Work, invest in the kingdom. Amen. Put some really solid investment on the Savior's account. Make sure when God comes, your name will be called. Amen. You are His church. Don't apologize for it. Don't be arrogant about it. Be confident and let the faith in God be what guides you. God bless.